there waited liberty. And the truth, it remains and will never, never change. The blood still sets me free. And the truth, it remains and will never, never change. And the blood still sets me free.
And the blood. And the blood still sets men free. Sing that little bit more of that, Brother Swagger. Sing the song. Listen to the song. Worship him tonight. Listen to the song.
But the blood that flowed from God's own Son, it's still setting sinners free. And from precious veins, sinners' unholy chains were broken by the blood. Those rusty nails that shook the gates of eternal
hell. Shook the gates of eternal hell.
And started.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Crimson blood. And to one and to all who would ever heed that gospel call, there waited liberty. And the truth, it remains and will never, never change. The blood still sets me free. And the truth, it remains and will never, never change. And the blood still sets me free.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does tonight. Praise God tonight. I love that song. It goes all the way back to 1988. 1988. McDonald was just a child then. I was just 25. I'm only 26 tonight. So it's a long time ago. It was the longest year of my life. Praise God. How was I in 1988? I would have been, I was close. I was 23, actually. I was very young then. Praise God. It was a beautiful song, though, by Brother Swaggart tonight. His blood still sets men free. And it does. All jokes aside, folks, it's a powerful song. That's the gospel. That song, that's the gospel. That is the gospel wrapped up for you tonight. We're just so grateful that you're with us tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me again tonight to the book of Luke. We're going to read the 11th chapter tonight, and we're actually going to just read two verses in Luke 11, and then we're going to read this morning's scriptures again that we read this morning, and we're going to be picking up the subject matter tonight of the coming kingdom. I am going to do my best to not get to preaching. It's going to be hard, but I want to teach you something tonight you need to listen to very carefully. Now listen, I want you to get your Bibles out. Seriously, you need to go find a Bible while I'm talking. Find a Bible in the house. Go dust that Bible off that's on the coffee table you ain't picked up in 6 months. Dust it off. Get this Bible down. Get you a notepad. Get you a piece of paper. Get you a pen. I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight. I want you to go study. And I want to say this tonight. It's going to get a little rough in here. We are in no way attacking individuals, but We're going to deal with a doctrine that is circulating the body, and it's been circulating the body for a little while. And it's really a recycled doctrine that goes way back to the 1980s. And it is a fallacy. It is false. I've always told you this about false doctrine. There's one thing that I cannot do with false doctrine. I cannot judge motive. I cannot judge whether these people are doing this deliberately or they're just in error, they're just in ignorance. But I will tell you this, a lot of these people are well-known people and they're money people. And I believe that a lot of it is rooted in not just spiritual ignorance, but spiritual pride and self-righteousness and spiritual witchcraft. I believe a lot of this that's going on tonight is a subtle attempt by the devil to get the church's attention off the second coming of Christ, to get the church's attention off of Jesus, to put it in this world system. It's no different than what Pergamos did. We've been talking about Pergamos on Wednesday night. Pergamos was the state church. It got in bed with the state. It lost its influence. It lost its zeal. It lost its message. It lost its passion. And folks, any church, any movement, any ministry that is trying to hang on to God with one hand and hang on to the world with the other is not going to work. It's not going to work. The world will always win out in that battle, because the world's allure is going to be much greater than God's, because God is not going to make any promises to that ministry in the sense of if you preach the truth, everybody's going to love you. It's going to be just the opposite. If you preach the truth, people are going to pretty much ignore you, leave you, isolate you, ostracize you, say a lot of nasty things about you. We're not addressing individuals tonight. I'm going to address some ministries, but I'm addressing them biblically, and I'm addressing it through doctrinal truth and to show you the doctrine that they're promoting and show you what the Bible has to say about it. And then I'm going to let you do something that I tell you to do all the time. Whatever you hear on this program tonight, you need to get the Bible down and you go back and I want you to read what we're putting forth tonight and you make your own call. And if you want to continue to hang on to the truth in this hand and then go listen to this dumb foolery and this error on the other, you go right ahead to your peril. It's up to you. We can't force you not to listen. We can't force you to just listen to our show. I'm not even telling you not to listen, just to listen to our show. We've never told you that. But you better be careful who you're listening to. You better be careful who you're listening to. And folks, if it's not built and based on the Word of God, it is not good for your spiritual health. It is not good for your spiritual health. And ultimately, that's your call. I cannot force feed this to you. I cannot make you believe this. I cannot. I think I was sharing this last week with somebody. I can't remember who it was. I think literally there are some people, it does really not matter ultimately what you tell them, even if you showed it to them in black and white, if you handed them a document and everything that we said was documented, full-flown documentation, people still wouldn't believe some of it because they're hell-bent on going after fables and they're hell-bent on believing what they want to believe, following who they want to follow. It's cult worship. It's personality worship. And they just love their personality. Oh, they love animals, so they must be okay. Or they've got this person in their network, so they must be okay. And I follow this guy, and he makes me feel good. And this person makes me feel good. And I just get the heebie-jeebies listening to this person. And I just feel, oh, I feel so good when I listen to this person. You know something? I can't compete with that. I'm not trying to. But I am going to do something tonight on this show. I'm going to address the doctrinal issue head on. The personality issue is up to you. You want to listen to somebody because of their personality, you go right ahead. People think they offend me when they tell me that I'm rough. They think they offend me when they say, well, you scream at people. They think they offend me when they tell me, well, you're just angry and you're divisive and all that. Now, that's a compliment, folks. They don't realize this Southerner, I don't care what you think about me personally. I don't. I'm not here in a personality conflict. I'm not auditioning for anybody. I'm not auditioning for the Catch 'Em All Club. I'm not auditioning for the We Awakening Tour. I'm not auditioning for this network or that network or any other network. I'm at home right here, and I'm not going anywhere. This is my dojo. I'm not auditioning for you or anybody else, and I'm not saying that to my family tonight, my Mac Files faith family, but there's some out there that sometimes I think that's what I'm doing. The way they send their emails to me is like, if you'll do this, more people would listen to you. We're not here to get more people to listen to us. The people that listen to this show, God sends these people to us. And the people that are here are supposed to be here. And that's how I firmly believe. I wouldn't have survived 5 years, folks. I've thought about this hard. Look, we would not have survived. Most podcasts don't last 6 months. There are people that started out with me 5 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't even know where they're at tonight. I hadn't heard from them in 4 years, 2 years. We're still here. by the help and the grace of God, we're still here. And it's been a struggle at times. It's been a struggle. It's been hurtful to watch friends that I thought were friends leave. It's been hurtful to see people say the things they say. It's been hurtful to see some of the things and hear some of the things that's been out there. And just people just being ugly, hateful. It hurts, folks. I'm human. I bleed blood just like you all do. But by the help and the grace of God, we've not allowed it to keep us and to knock us off our focus of telling you the truth. And these Sunday morning programs are the most important of the week. I could stop doing the Mac Files tomorrow. Ultimately, I would miss it. But that's not the most important aspect of what we're doing. This show and this morning and Wednesday night, I could just do those three shows all week. I'd be happy. But we try to bring other people in to give you the truth and to help you understand the things that are going on in the country. But at the end of every day, I thank God for the Sunday morning programs, because these affect eternity. These affect nations. That lady that emailed us tonight from Jordan, folks, that's a new frontier. Praise God for that tonight. Germany, praise God. First emails I've ever gotten from Jordan and Germany. It's awesome. And I just believe and I sense that that's going to be the path going forward, that this American apostate system, they've had their chance to listen to the truth and they've turned it off. And God is about to send this message of the gospel to other nations. It's their turn now. If we're not going to listen to the truth here in this country, God's going to, at some point, God's going to stop speaking the truth. He's going to stop it. He's not going to keep sending the truth to people that won't listen to it. And I can give you scriptural basis for that. Because they would not receive the love of the truth, the Bible says he will send strong delusion to them that they will believe a lie and be damned. You have to love truth to get truth. If you don't love the truth, I can tell you this, folks, tonight, you're not going to hear the truth. And people hear what they want to hear, just like Israel heard what they wanted to hear. They rejected Christ because they were expecting him to be a different type of Jesus than he was. And the church is rejecting the gospel tonight. It's rejecting the truth tonight for the same reason. They are making a Christ that is not the true Christ. And they're presenting that Christ to the world tonight. And it's a lot of it is rooted in this seven mountain theology. And it is a fake gospel, folks. It is not the gospel. Look in my eye, not blinking an eye, telling you this tonight. Not hesitating, not even blinking, not even pausing. It is not the gospel. It is not the gospel. It is a fake gospel pointing people to a fake Christ driven by a fake spirit. And I have to tell you, if it's not the Holy Spirit, it's likely demon spirits. Now, are these people saved? I'll leave that up to God. Are these people whatever? I'll leave that up to God. Are they doing this deliberately? I'll leave that up to God. But I'm going to tell you this tonight, folks. And the devil's trying to hit our channel with broken frames right now. So we're doing something right. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is a crucified lamb. The story of the Bible is the cross. And that's the gospel tonight. And it will always be the gospel. What you just heard on that song, his blood set him in free. That's the gospel. And if the gospel these people are preaching is not rooted in the blood of Jesus, it's not the gospel of the Bible. It is not the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of Satan that's producing it. And I don't blink an eye saying that either. And again, you want to get caught up in personalities? You want to get caught up in personality worship and cult worship and people worship? You go right ahead. You go right ahead. Do it to your own peril. We're not going to stop you. We're not going to get mad at you. We've had a lot of dear friends that have left this show because they wanted to go somewhere else because they didn't like what they were hearing here and they figured they'd go hear something better somewhere else. Well, they probably, to their flesh and to their senses, they probably are hearing something better. But I can tell you this, the time that is coming, folks, the time is here. The Bible tells us that people will not endure sound doctrine. That time is no longer coming. That time has come. That time has come. You're in safe harbor here tonight. You're always going to be in safe harbor here. You may not like me. You may not like what I have to say. But you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're going to hear the truth. One way or the other, you will hear the truth. I wouldn't have survived this long if I wasn't producing the truth. And by the help and the grace of God, we're going to be here this year as long as we got a breath, as long as we got a camera, as long as we've got lights and I got an internet connection somewhere, we're going to be doing what we're doing by His help and grace tonight. And I mean that not arrogantly. I mean it very seriously, very humbly, and very much in fear and trembling tonight. And I mean that tonight because much is at stake. And I thank you for being out here tonight with us tonight. Praise God. Now, that's as much preaching as you're going to hear me do tonight, hopefully. Probably not. Probably not. Let me go over here to my screen, because if I don't get on my screen, you will start. And I'll start preaching, and we will be here till midnight. You ain't got nothing to do anyway. The only thing's on television, an old football game, and who cares about that, right? Praise God tonight. Let me come over here to our outline. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody put some fire in that house? Somebody needs to say amen. Glory to God tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All righty. Luke chapter 11 tonight. 1 and 2. This is the Lord's Prayer. And it says this in Luke 11. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples," speaking of John the Baptist. "And he said unto them, when you pray, say," and I'm not going to read the whole prayer, I'm just going to read the second verse. The second verse has to do with our subject tonight. "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I want you to notice the statement right here. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven, so in earth. Some translations say, as it is in heaven, so it is on earth as it is in heaven. But the meaning is the same, regardless of how the translation goes. And then the verse we read this morning, I want to read that again because it's very important. And I want to read this morning because this was also part of the, hang on just a second. Let me work on getting this scripture off, because I want to put this scripture up tonight. And again, I'm going to go very methodical. I'm not going to hurry. I'm going to teach tonight a little bit. Luke 17, I want to read this tonight. It says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he goes on to tell Pilate, he was talking to the Pharisees in Luke 17. In John 18, he stands before Pilate, and Pilate presses him on why his followers are not coming to his rescue. He's standing before Pilate, getting ready to be sentenced to be crucified by Israel. Crucified. And it says, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, then I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And it was not hence then. Folks, it's not hence tonight. And then Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." In the Holy Ghost. Powerful scripture there tonight. I want to read something out of Daniel tonight. Daniel 2:34, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands." You'll be learning about this in detail when we get to our side study of Daniel as we go through the book of Revelation. We're going to study Daniel's chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 2 through 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 soon. You're going to understand what this verse means in detail, but I'm saying this because it has to do with the kingdom of God tonight. "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, who smote the image upon his feet that were of iron of clay and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together like and became like the chaff of the summer." Let me tell you what that means, folks. Let me just go ahead and read that. "Threshing floors, the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." That is speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ tonight, when he will come back to this earth and smite the kingdoms of this earth that are on this earth, and they will be no place found for any other kingdom except the kingdom of God. The stone cut out without hands is Christ. He is the chief cornerstone tonight. The stone is the kingdom of God that is coming upon this earth during the great millennial kingdom. It is not coming before then. It is here tonight through you, the believer. But that kingdom does not have observation to it tonight. We can't see it, no more than Israel could see it, but they wanted to see one, and the church is dying to see it tonight. And then I want you to look at Daniel 7:14. And there was given him dominion. I want you to remember that term. I want you to notice it didn't say there was given the church dominion, and there was given the seven mountain group dominion, or any other group. Who was given dominion here? And there was given him dominion, speaking of Christ, the Ancient of Days that's to come, and glory, and what else? And a kingdom. There's a kingdom tonight, folks, of darkness. There's a kingdom of light. There's a kingdom of Satan. There's a kingdom of God. Jay Bynum said something to me this week, and I'll just throw this in before we go. The kingdom of God has to have a king. The kingdom of Satan has to have a king. Any kingdom that is out there tonight, any human kingdom, has to have a king. And I can tell you this tonight, folks, that the kingdom that mankind is building does not have Christ as its king. It's not of God. And there's a lot of kingdom building tonight that's going on that Christ is not the king of. I want to say that again. There's a lot of kingdom building tonight. There's a lot of things that's going on in the name of God. And there's a lot of kingdoms that are building, being built tonight, including this kingdom that's being built upon this fake doctrine of the seven mountains. And I'll get to that in a minute. But I can tell you this right now, that the kingdom of God is one that all people, nations, and languages will serve who? Will serve him. Not transform the world, but they will serve Christ. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Let me just throw this little caveat in on this firebomb, since I'm in a firebomb throwing mood tonight. Folks, this crap that you're hearing tonight is nothing but a fad, okay? Give it about 5 years. You won't even hear about this down the road. You're not going to hear about this dumb foolery. I can tell you when the purpose-driven life was going on in the purpose-driven church, that was back in the 2000s, and people thought that was the wave of the future. They thought that was the way of the church for all the time to come. They thought that was the blueprint for the church growth period for the whole 50 hundred years. And guess what, folks? You don't even know where Rick Warren's at tonight. He stepped down out of disgrace. And I can tell you, you can't find the purpose-driven life book except on the 99-cent bookshelf at Books A Million today, because they're trying to give it away because people don't want to buy the trash. It's a fad. And all this stuff that you're hearing tonight, all these things that you're hearing, all these movements, folks, they're going to pass away. They're going to pass away. But the kingdom of God tonight that has an everlasting dominion, I'm going to tell you something, that's not going to pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Nothing will destroy the kingdom of God that is coming. This man-made stuff, folks, can be destroyed in about 3 seconds. This man-made kingdom can be destroyed in about a minute. Because the people that are building it could do something called death. They could drop dead. And their little movements could be gone in about a second. I want to say it again. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and languages and nations should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Fads come and go, folks. Movements come and go. People come and go. The church has been caught up in stuff that comes and goes. But the kingdom of God and the word of God lasts forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, neighbor and friend and MacFiles faith family tonight. We're not worrying about a kingdom that we can't see. Let me change that. We're not worrying about building a kingdom we can see. We're worried about being part of a kingdom we can't see, that is in the heart and the soul of every born-again believer tonight. It is the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Love, joy, and peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And neighbor, that will never pass away. As Bill Gaither wrote the song, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. That name will never pass away, and his kingdom will never pass away. Somebody needs to say amen tonight. Now. Woo! I'm going to start preaching if I'm not careful. All right. Let me teach. There is a kingdom age that is coming. There is a kingdom age that is coming. Christ prayed that his kingdom, he wanted his kingdom to come. He wanted his kingdom to come. I'm sorry, I couldn't spell kingdom. It's K-I-N, not T-O-M, but D-O-M. Sorry about that. It was a typo. There is a kingdom age that is coming, folks. It's called the millennial reign. It is not the type kingdom that is being pushed by false teachers and false prophets tonight. The roadmap to what the kingdom of God is and when it will come to this earth is given to us in the Word of God. There are sadly two opposing viewpoints to this all-important doctrine, one from the apostate church and the other from God's Word. Let me say it again tonight. All doctrine that is not based on the Word of God is false. Write that down. Tattoo it on your arm. Tattoo it on your head. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it every day. Memorize that statement. Breathe it. Sleep it. Read it. Breathe it. Sleep it. All doctrine, folks. All doctrine that's not based on the Word of God is false. Period. End of statement. End of debate. If there's a little leaven in it, it's false. It may be 80% true, 20% false. If it's 20% false, it's false. And the scripture outlines tonight for us as to what is ahead for planet Earth. I want to show you what the scripture tells you that is coming. And then I'm going to show you what this other stuff that is being promulgated is teaching you. Number one. Christians will not reform and achieve domination over the world, nor will it present a world that is flawless to Jesus Christ. If you read your Bibles tonight, the recording of when Christ comes back is recorded in Revelation 19, 11, and 16, through 11 and 16. That is the description of the great battle of Armageddon. That is when Christ comes back at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. And neighbor, he's coming back to a world that is unrepentant and evil. Unrepentant and evil. Now, let me say this. If he's coming back to a world that is unrepentant and evil, then why is it that you're being told tonight that this seven mountain theology, and folks, it goes under the Old Dominion, coming Dominion, kingdom teaching, and we're going to read some quotes tonight a little bit from this. And I hope you will let me go a little long tonight. I'm going to get you out of here around 10, if that's okay, because you need to hear this tonight. I'm going to do my best to get you out of here within 40, 50 minutes, but you need to listen to this tonight. It's very important. If, as this group tells you, that the church is going to transform society and make society right for the coming of the Lord, why is it that when John saw Jesus coming back at the Great Tribulation period, at the end of the Great Tribulation period, he saw Christ coming back to an evil and unrepentant world? Let me read this verse to you in Revelation 19. Let me change screens here. Let me read this to you tonight. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Folks, if he's making war, who's he making war with at the Battle of Armageddon? He's battling the forces of the Antichrist. He's battling the forces of the Antichrist and saving Israel from her clutches. Are you hearing me tonight? But according to this dominion teaching and according to this kingdom now teaching, kingdom of God's already on the planet, and none of this even exists. None of this is going to happen. Because according to their little delusional minds, that the church is somehow going to make the earth just right, and then Christ to come back. That's not a picture of an earth that has been taken over by the church, and there's dominion over the world. Neighbor, that's a world that's in warfare and evil. Are you with me on that? His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And I want you to look at this, folks. His clothes with a vesture that was dipped in blood. Dipped in blood. Do you realize that Ezekiel says that at the Battle of Armageddon, that the blood is going to come up to the horse's bridle? Do you realize Revelation talks about that? There's going to be so much blood at this battle that there's going to be blood up to the horse's bridle in that Valley of Megiddo. Neighbor, that don't seem like a whole world that's been taken over by the church and made right for Christ to come back. That's an evil and an unrepentant world. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were with him in heaven followed upon him in white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. By the way, folks, common sense would tell you if the church is supposed to stay on this earth and get the earth ready for Christ, who is that with him in heaven following him upon white horses? Ghost? The Easter Bunny? Santa Claus? Who's following him in heaven? Who's in heaven with him following him upon white horses? If the church is supposed to be down here, getting the earth ready for him, and none of this is true, and the rapture ain't true, where do the armies come from in heaven, folks? And you say you're being sarcastic. I'm being very sarcastic. It don't make any sense, does it? Of course it don't. Because it's false, folks. It's a fallacy. It's error. It's wrong. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations. Folks, if the nations are subdued by the church and the nations are subdued and the earth is subdued, why would he have to smite the nations with the sword of his mouth when he comes back? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That don't sound like a submissive world to me. That don't sound like a world that's been conditioned by the church to be in great shape when Christ comes back. Neighbor, that's a world in rebellion that he will rule with a rod of iron, and he's going to tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He's going to tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, folks. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that I got your attention, let me proceed. Let me proceed back to my outline. Are you with me? Are you with me? We'll get you out of here at 7 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock Pacific. We'll get you out of here. Now, what I'm about to share with you is what the Bible tells you what's coming, folks. And then I'm going to show you what they're teaching compared to this. Before Jesus takes over this world, folks, at the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible does not tell you that the earth is going to get better and better. It's telling you that it will get worse and worse. The Bible tells you and tells me tonight that there is coming a terrible apostasy upon the earth. It's telling us that there will be many that will deny the faith and fall away from the faith. There's going to be a great falling away before Christ comes back. There's going to be a falling away before Christ comes back. I want to say that one more time. There's going to be a great falling away before Christ comes back. You can read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. I don't have the verse up here, but moderators, if you put that in there, I'll read it to you tonight. So you won't think I'm making this up. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a fallen away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Neighbor, Jesus cannot come back for the church and with the church until the apostasy kicks in. It's kicking in tonight. It's here. And it's prepping the world for the rise of the Antichrist. And it's getting a warning sound, sending a warning sound to me and you tonight to get ready for the rapture. To get ready for the rapture. It is a falling away of the truth and the Bible up to the physical second coming of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:1. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Matthew 24:21. For there shall be great tribulation, such as never been in the past. There will never be a time like it in the future. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When they shall say peace and safety. When they shall scream peace and safety. Sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman and a child. And they shall not escape. That does not sound like a world tonight, folks, that is going to be taken over by the church and subdued and dominion given to the church over it to get the world ready for Jesus. Neighbor, this world is in rebellion tonight. It's been in rebellion from the day Adam sinned, and it will be in rebellion up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry, I don't care how much people think that's going to change. It is not going to change, folks, because the Bible says it won't change. As the church cries for peace, listen to me carefully tonight, folks. Jesus cries from his word to be what? Watchful for his soon coming for the church known as the rapture and the catching away of the saints. It's the next great event on God's prophetic calendar, folks, is the rapture of the church. This is the first resurrection. You can read this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 tonight talks about that the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. That he in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 tonight, folks, is the church. It's the church. The church is getting ready to be taken away. I'm not going to get to preaching on this tonight. I don't want to get into the weeds with this because I would get to preaching and I will be here till midnight. But I want to put these verses up. It's right here, what I just read to you. I hope you hear what I'm saying to you tonight, folks. I will tell you that this bunch that's producing this kingdom now theology denies a rapture. We'll get to that in a minute. They deny this. They think this is past. They don't believe this is true. They think this is la-la land stuff. Even though it's taken right out of the Word of God, folks. I'm reading it to you. You're looking at the verses right now. This is what it says in the Word of God. Let no man deceive you by any means, including the seven mountain fallacy. For that day will not come until there come a falling away first. It cannot come, folks. The rapture cannot take place until the falling away. We're in that time. The man of sin must be revealed before Christ comes back physically, but he has to be revealed after the church is taken out. The son of perdition. And is not the church telling you tonight something totally different? Is not the church telling you that all that's ahead is peace and safety? Is not the church telling you tonight that all you've got to expect is if you will just believe this little doctrine and believe that doctrine and say a few prayers and just intercede and get on top of this thing that we can change this and there will be no more war, there'll be no more conflict, there'll be nothing in this earth that's going to be bad. Nothing's going to be bad. And all these prophets are out there telling you to look for February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. And then when nothing happens that they claim is going to happen, then all of a sudden they'll start the calendar over again in January, February, March, April, May, June. And if you notice something, folks, they never tell you anything bad's coming. It's always something good. That God's going to fix this at a certain time. That God's going to do something major majorly good. And folks, he is doing something majorly good. But the ones he's doing majorly good things in are those that are his children tonight. He's doing it in the ones that have the kingdom of God residing into them. And that's his you, neighbor, the believer, the child of God tonight. After the rapture, and I could speak on that for all night. We're going to get to the rapture, the Revelation study. Suffice it to say, folks, Jesus is coming. You might want to tell your friends that don't believe in a rapture that Jesus is coming, whether they like it or not. He's coming for the church and he's coming with the church. It's not hard to see it in the Bible, folks. It's not hard. And you say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Of course it's not in the rapture, but catching away is. The catching away of the saint caught up together will be in this, is there. Are you listening to me tonight? Somebody needs to say amen. After the rapture, the great tribulation will take place, folks. When Jesus comes for the church, the next event after the rapture is the great tribulation. It's the great tribulation. Matthew 24, 21. For there shall be great tribulation. Let me read the verse to you. I'm going slow. I'm going to get into the good stuff here in a minute. Just let me lay this foundation. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Folks, that is right out of God's word. That's out of God's word. That's not out of the funny pages. That's not out of the UN manual. That's not out of your church catechism and your bylaws. That's coming from God's word tonight. And I hate to tell you, the UN can't stop it. Church can't stop it. Backslidden saints can't stop it. Nobody can stop this. I've literally heard preachers tell their congregation, the church can cause God not to do this. Folks, that statement alone right there lets you know right there, these people are false. They don't know the Bible. Because the purpose of the Great Tribulation has nothing to do with the church. It has everything to do with Israel. And the same people that are pushing this nonsense are anti-Semitic, most of them. They don't want Israel to be in God's plan. They want the church to be in God's plan. Both are in God's plan tonight, folks. The Great Tribulation is to bring Israel back to God, is to get the church out of here for a season before we come back with Christ on those white horses that I read to you earlier. And then at the end of the seven-year period, Christ will return physically with the church at the great battle of Armageddon that I just read to you in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I'm going to stop right here. Are you with me so far? Are you with me so far? If you're with me, put some prayer hands in that chat room. You got the falling away, which is going on right now. You got the apostasy, which is going on right now. You've got an apostate system. You got a true system. You got a true church tonight. The next great event is the rapture, where the church is going to be taken away. After the rapture of the church, you got the great tribulation, 7 years. After the great tribulation, you got the coming of the Lord for the church first and with the church at the end of the great tribulation at the battle of Armageddon. Right out of God's word, folks. Right out of God's word. I want you to listen to this very carefully. After this, and only after this, let me say this again. After this, and only after this, underline in your notes, only after this, is when Christ sets up his earthly kingdom during the millennial reign, folks, and that is the time that the kingdom of God truly comes. Let me say it again. After this, and only after this, the millennial reign begins. The kingdom of God will truly then come to earth in fullness by Christ. When I was reading that event to you in Revelation 19, 11 through 16, did you see man mention in any part of that the church had anything to do with his coming? Folks, did you? Did you see anywhere in that statement that Christ made about his coming, that John made about his coming, that somehow or another that the church orchestrated Armageddon, that the church looked up to heaven and said, Jesus, it's time for you to come back now so you can split the eastern sky open and you can come back at your at our bidding and not your own bidding. Did you see anything in that scripture like that? I'll answer that for you tonight. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The kingdom of God, folks, is in you tonight. The kingdom of God is coming. The coming kingdom is coming. But it's not coming until Christ comes back. And that is the Bible that I'm telling you, folks, that is biblical truth. It's biblical doctrine. And if you want to tinker with that, you tinker with that to your own demise. You don't want to believe that? Don't believe it. But the Bible says it. I'm believing it. I've never doubted it one second in all of my life. In teaching Revelation and believing the Bible, I've never ever questioned that, and I've never planned to. I've just accepted it by faith. It's the Bible, and neighbor, if it's God's word, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen, period. End of discussion. End of discussion. Let me hurry on. I'm doing pretty good. I'm teaching tonight, not screaming too much. I'm doing pretty good. After the thousand-year reign, the Bible states that Satan will be loosed from imprisonment for a short time and will deceive the nations. Folks, you can read all that I'm telling you. I've got the scriptures here. I told you at the beginning. I want you to go back after this teaching tonight. Copy these notes down. You hope you're writing these scriptures down. All of this I'm giving you is scriptural. I'm giving you the scripture text that you can go back and read. Check it out what I'm saying. Don't take my word for it. Read it. Read it for yourself. You can find this in Revelation 27 through 9. And then finally, after this final rebellion, God will judge the wicked at the great white throne judgment. Child of God, your judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. The wicked sinner will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. The new Jerusalem will then come down from God out of heaven. And the Bible is pretty silent about the ages to come. But what it does say about it is found in Revelation 21 and 2, 16 and 24. And if you read the 66th chapter of Isaiah, it will speak of the conditions of the earth during the millennial and the time to come as well. Now, that's what the Bible says about it. That is what the Bible says about it. Now, I want to talk to you tonight. What I just read to you, what I just read to you is what the Bible says about what's to come. Now I'm going to deal with this theology. Now, I want to read something to you tonight. It may sound boring, but you need to listen very carefully to this because it was spoken, and we, if you watch mine and Jay's program a few weeks ago, I read this on the show, and I'm going to read it tonight because some of you wasn't there. And I want you to listen to me. December the 12th, 1984. None other than Pat Robertson, Richard Roberts, Rex Humbard, Robert Shuler. And for those of you that know who Pat Robertson is, he's the retired president of the Christian Broadcasting Network. And Roberts, of course, was ORU. Rex Humbard was big on TBN, Trinity. That's the Paul Crouch group. Shuler was the Crystal Cathedral during those years, the feel-good gospel of the California age. But I want you to listen to what Pat Robertson said this night. Now, I want you to listen carefully to me, folks, because what I'm about to read to you is in complete opposition. It is in complete opposition. It is in complete opposition to the Bible. Complete. He says, what's coming next? I want you to think of a world with a school system where humanism isn't taught anymore and people sincerely believe in the living God. Mind you, he don't mention Jesus there. I want you to listen to me, folks. He don't mention Christ there. But they believe in the living God, a world in which there are no more abortions, the juvenile delinquencies is virtually unknown, the prisons are virtually empty, There's dignity because people love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he mentions him there. But this is the kicker. He says, I want you to imagine a society where the church members have taken dominion over the forces of the world. He didn't say Christ took dominion over it. He says the church members, folks. Listen carefully to this wording. Listen carefully to me tonight. Very carefully. He says, where Satan's power is bound by the people of God. I want you to notice he's putting the being bound, the Satan being bound, not on Christ, but he's putting Satan being bound on the people of God. And where there is no more disease and where there's no more demon possession. That's what the society they're envisioning. This was almost 40 years ago, folks. We're going to see a society where the people are living godly, moral lives, and where the people of God will have so much that they will lend to others, but they will not have to borrow. They will not have to borrow. We're buffering a little bit, folks. Just bear with us. It'll stop. Devil's fighting this a little bit. They're going to be the most honored people in society. No drug addiction. Pornographers no longer have any access to the public. The people of God inherit the earth. There's a spirit-filled president in the White House. The men in the Senate and the House of Representatives are spirit-filled and worship Jesus. And the judges do the same. You say that's a description of the millennial when Jesus comes back. But these things, now listen to what he does, folks. Listen to what he says. Can take place now in this time. And they are going to, because I am persuaded that we are standing on the brink of the greatest spiritual revival the world has ever known. Hundreds of millions of people are coming into the kingdom in the next several years. Folks, let me ask you this. This was written 40 years ago. Has America gone better or worse in 40 years? Has America seen revival over the past 40 years? Has this utopia society that they claimed that they were going to produce been produced? I told you this morning, folks, the church at large, we've had 2,000 years of gospel preaching. Has the world become better? Has the world become any better tonight? Has your society become any better? He says, we've got to understand the nature of prosperity and prepare for what God's going to do. God is going to put us in positions of leadership and responsibility. And we have got to think that way. You mark my words, in the next year, 2 years, and the next 3 or 4, we're going to see things happen that will absolutely boggle our minds. Pat, I got news for you. We've seen some things that's boggled our mind. This country has become worse. And it has sunk into depravity and has sunk into apostasy, and the church has backslidden on God, Pat. That's what we've seen over 40 years. Because the church has left the Bible. The church has left the cross. The church has left the power of God. And the church don't understand that the kingdom of God don't come with observation, neighbor. It is within you. He never mentions that ever. And I know that you read some of that and man, everybody's applauding that. Well, no more abortions, great. No more juvenile delinquency, great. No more drunks, great. No more drug addicts, great. Prisons are empty, great. Folks, none of that has taken place. And the reason why he predicted it was not that Christ would set these people free, but that the church would take dominion over the earth. Now, I'm going to give you some names of this movement. It comes in a lot of different wrappers. It came in a lot of different wrappers. I remember this movement when I was young in the faith. I wasn't even ministering at the time, but I remember this stuff. And it was, I never understood it until I got sort of studying the Word of God. And it takes on a lot of different titles. And if you'll give me a second, I'll read some of them to you. Pat Robertson's book called The Secret Kingdom. This is what he said. Listen to what he says. In the meantime, during the tribulation, the kingdom of God will move forward, its future never in doubt. Now listen to this, folks. Listen to what Pat said. Its future never in doubt. Those who choose to live under its rule will do so and be continually prepared for that time of history when Jesus Christ will return to earth. Folks, he's talking about you because he don't believe there's a rapture. He believes the church is destined to go through the tribulation and get the earth ripe and ready for Christ to ride in on that white horse. Pat, and all the dumb fools behind him believing this crap, let me ask you a question tonight, Pat. Where are those armies in heaven coming from then? That's not angels on those white horses. Angels can't be redeemed. Those people on those white horses were in fine linen, Pat, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That's redeemed saints, Pat. It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. This was called the Kingdom Now movement of the 1980s. It was called the Sons of God movement. And I'm trying to see some of these titles because they go under so many different names. They would change their name. Possibility Thinking. The Kingdom Age Teachers. It was called the Manifestation of the Sons of God. And Jay probably could put a lot of more titles out there. He studies this stuff. And New Age Thinking. Restoration, Restitution, Manifest Sons, Rebuilding the Tabernacle of David, Third Wave Theology, New Wave Revival, Kingdom Now, Latter Rain, all of these titles, that was what they were titled in the 1980s, folks. It's the same philosophy then, and let me tell you something, folks, it's been repackaged tonight. It's been repackaged tonight. I'm going to read you something. I'm going to bring up a website tonight. I'm going to bring up a website, because if I say this and I don't show you the website, people will think I'm making this stuff up and I'm just... because I'm upset at somebody and they think I'm taking shots. Well, this is the Seven Mountains of Societal Influence. This is from none other than the Generals Network, and this is none other from Cindy Jacobs and her husband. I don't know who her husband's name is. Right here, black and white, folks. I'm going to read this to you. Now, remember what I just read, what Pat Robertson said back in the 1980s. And I want you to read this tonight. I want you to listen to me. And keep in mind what I just showed you at the beginning, what the Bible says, what's coming. And then what this Seven Mountain of Societal Influence doctrine is telling you that's coming tonight. I want you to listen carefully to this. This is out of their website, folks. It ain't Chris making this up. Since 1975, Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, and Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, all religious activity, folks, all religious organizations, everybody applauded Campus for Christ, and everybody was thinking this is great. They developed a God-given, world-changing strategy. The mandate is bring godly change to a nation by reaching the seven spheres or mountains of societal influence. Now, it almost is identical. It's almost identical to what Pat Robertson was saying back in the 1980s, that imagine a world without sin, without crime, without abortion, without all this stuff. Because if we influence society, right, we can see this happening now. They concluded that in order to truly transform any nation with the gospel of Christ, these seven facets of society must be reached: religion, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. Now, Cindy Jacobs' group, the Reformative Prayer Network, their primary goal, and she ain't the only one, folks, so I'm not signaling out Cindy Jacobs, all you Cindy Jacob lovers out there, don't be sending me your nasty emails and saying, you're just attacking Cindy Jacobs. No, I just attack doctors and Catholics, right, Wendy? She's... oh, Lord. The Reformative Prayer Network's primary goal is to be a catalyst through prayer and righteous activism. Folks, do you see that word right there? I want you to answer. I'm going to ask you a question, folks. Do you see anywhere in that paragraph right there the cross of Christ? They mention the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they don't mention the real Christ there, folks. That's not the true gospel. This is not the true gospel, folks. They're claiming this is righteous activism, which will bring change to these areas of societal influence. Folks, let me tell you something. They've been trying to bring change to these influences for nearly 150 to 200 years. Have they done anything to change society? Have they done any of that? Do you think religion's being changed? No. Has the family situation in America changed? No. Has the education in America changed because of this righteous activism? No. Has government been changed because of this righteous activism? No. Has media been changed? No. Has the arts and entertainment been changed? No. Has business been changed because of this righteous activism that this bunch is calling for tonight? No. But to hear ministries like Cindy Jacobs, and yes, I'm going to go ahead and say his name, and I'm probably going to get some flack on it, but one of the most biggest propagators of this garbage is Lance Waldow. And he is the prophet of the Renew America movement. And the individual that's over that movement, that's his big prophet, because he's the prophet out front. It's what he called it. Every time he announces him, it's like Johnny Carson. Here's Johnny. Well, they say, here's Lance. And he pushes this stuff at these conferences, folks. Pushes this stuff at this conference. I just want to read you the religion part of this. I'm not even going to read the others, but I do want to read the religion. I found this very intriguing. I want you to listen to what they believe about religion. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. Listen. Every society has some type of belief in a superior being or beings. In the East, religions tend to be polytheistic or outright idolatrous. They call Hinduism out in Buddhism. Although these religions were thousands of years old, they nonetheless continue to thrive today in the West. Christianity and Catholicism are predominant, but postmodern views are increasingly being accepted, and the concept of God is being rejected. That's especially true in Europe. I got news for you, Cindy. That's true in America, too. And see, they like to use this word ecclesia. The Christian church is described in the Greek as the ecclesia, literally translated the governing body, although we don't condone theocracies. The translation suggests, now listen to what it says here, folks. Listen to this. That the church should have great influence in all other spheres that make up a society. With a plethora of categorized religions, it's the church's responsibility to reach the lost with the love and gospel of Christ and expand the kingdom in ministerial efforts both nationally and internationally. Folks, that is cheap talk. But see, they don't tell you how they plan to do that, do they? They don't tell you how they plan to do that. They believe that by taking over the family and that taking over business and by doing all that, that will change the religious nature. Folks, I'm going to ask you a question tonight, folks, and I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm being very serious with you tonight. What I just read to you is the very same thing that Pat Robertson and this same bunch quoted 40 years ago that they wanted to do. And you see, let me tell you something. Religion is the key. Because religion sells. The family unit, they don't care about. Education, they think if we take over education, it'll make people religious. If we take over government and put good Christian people in government, that'll change the country. If we put Christian people in media, that'll change the country. If we put people in arts and entertainment, that'll change the country. If we put people in business, that'll change the country. Folks, I'm going to ask you a question. The gospel message has been preached for 2,000 years. This kingdom now, new age, third wave, whatever you want to call it, seven mountain stuff has been going on for years, decades. If it's so right, if it's so true, and it's supposed to make a difference in society, why hasn't it made a difference in society yet? Can I answer that question for you or ask that question to you tonight? Take a hard thought about that. I'll tell you why. It's not biblical. It's not biblical, folks. It's not biblical. And it's not the kingdom of God. This is based upon a man-made theology. It is man-made mechanisms. And look, it may sound noble what they're talking about, the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Neighbor, the gospel of Jesus Christ tells men to repent. And just because you put Christians in these areas, I don't see a lot of repentance being preached from these ministries. All I hear is that we're going to take over this world and make this world ripe for Christ. And when we get ready for Jesus to come back, then we'll tell him and we'll look up to heaven and say, come on back, Christ. We've got the world ready for you. It's no different, folks, than what Israel did 2,000 years ago when they demanded him tell them, when is your kingdom coming? And neighbor, this bunch is doing the same thing tonight. And the wording may be different. The title may be different. It's the same evil theology of the 80s. It's the same mess, recarpeted, repackaged. It's the same mess. And let me tell you something to my listeners tonight. You can believe this stuff if you want to, but I am telling you without a doubt, it is fake, folks. It is false. It is false. And it's deadly. Because it gets the church's eyes off of Christ and puts them on man. Are you hearing me? They want to influence society. Now, let me wrap this up. I got 30 minutes and I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. Let me go over these quickly. I've done pretty good. I haven't screamed too much tonight. I hope you've learned something from this. The difference in the opposing views. And one of our moderators got literally raked over the coals by certain individuals because she was brave enough to confront this. And folks, they're very defensive of this stuff. All I can tell that moderator, I know she's listening to me tonight, keep the faith and keep opposing it. You're opposing it right. You're right for doing it. You're right for doing it. It's fake and it's false. And these people that believe this stuff, they don't know the Word of God. Now, these next few statements are going to be a little rough. These little statements are going to be a little rough. But I'm going to show you the difference between what the Bible says and what these kingdom majors say. I'll use that title. Or these seven mountain folks. And I ain't talking about the hills of East Tennessee here. Kingdom age folks, they use titles to justify their theology. They justify their theology by their titles. Let me tell you something. We don't believe in titles, folks. I believe in the fundamental truths of the Bible. And they can name these things. And see, the seven mountain thing is a new title. It was titled so much stuff in the 80s, as I've read to you a while ago. It was named all sorts of stuff in the 80s. It's called the Kingdom Majors. It was called Positive Confession. It was called the Little God Syndrome. It was called the New Wave Theology, the Latter Rain Movement. I've heard that recently. It was called the Tabernacle of David stuff. It was called the Manifest Sons of God stuff, the Restitution of the House of David, Restoration Ministries, all of this stuff, folks. They use titles to justify it. It sounds very religious, but it's not rooted in truth. And people chase it because of the title, and they reject truth because they would rather have the title instead of listening to the truth. Number two, the kingdom agers do not take the Word of God literally. They do not take the Word of God literally. They look for every scripture in the Bible to have some kind of hidden meaning in it that they themselves make. It's literally like, I saw one person that wrote about this, every man becomes a law unto himself, which is a dangerous precedent to do. Listen to what they say out there, folks. That's exactly what they're telling you. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We don't believe that the Word of God is to be tinkered with, folks. When it says something, you better take it literally. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. End of discussion. If the Bible says Jesus is coming for the church, guess what? Jesus is coming for the church, neighbor. If the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away and the Antichrist is coming, the Antichrist is coming. If the Bible tells you there's going to be great tribulation, guess what? The great tribulation is coming. If the Bible tells you that Jesus is coming at the Battle of Armageddon, guess what, neighbor? Jesus is coming at the Great Battle of Armageddon. If the Bible tells you this world is not going to get any better, but this world's going to descend into madness and perilous times are coming, Let me tell you something, neighbor. You better take that literally. That's what the Bible means, and it means what it says, and it says what it means. This bunch don't believe that. Now, they'll get on their YouTube channels this week and vehemently deny all this and say, oh, yeah, we believe in God's word. Listen to what their theology is, folks, and you will find out in about 3 seconds they do not believe in the literal word of God. They don't. They don't. If they did, they wouldn't be producing a seven mountain theology. They'd be telling you to get ready for the rapture because Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Let me tell you something. I never read one thing in that paragraph by Cindy Jacobs that indicated that they were getting the world ready for the coming of the Lord. Did you? There was no mention of the second coming of Christ in any of that. None. Because most of these people don't believe in one. They don't even believe Jesus is coming. Oh, they believe he's coming, but they're believing he's coming at their whim. Kingdom majors. This is a big one. This is a big one. God has spoken to us. God has spoken to us, and no man can evaluate what we said. Are we not hearing that tonight? Folks, you got some prophets out there that if you question what they're saying, they'll get on their channel and they'll throw curses on you. You got some people, if you question some of these movements, they'll get their prophets and then they'll start threatening people that are basically just asking serious questions about the doctrinal stuff. Okay? And then they say, well, you can't question us because God is speaking to us and no man can evaluate what we say. Let me tell you something, Bible folks. The Bible tells you in 1 Corinthians 14:29, it says, let the prophet speak by one, two, or three, and let the other judge. I'll read the verse to you tonight. And I got 20 minutes, if you'll just bear with me. I know I'm going a little late tonight, but I hope you, this is very important. I feel led to just carry this out tonight if you let me do it. It says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Let the other judge. We believe, folks, and you need to believe tonight, that all things that are said must be subject to the searching of the scriptures to see if they're scripturally valid. You have never, ever, ever, ever heard me tell you except what I tell you on face value, folks. I've always told you every second of the day on this program, especially on these face shows, get in that Word of God and back up what I'm telling you with the Bible and read the Bible for yourself. Because if you will read the Bible for yourself, you'll find out what I'm telling you is true. And if it's not, you come back and tell me it's not true. And let me tell you something, we'll correct it in about a second. I've never told you to take what I said at face value. I never will. But this bunch that's in this Kingdom Age movement and these seven mountain folks, they're threats. They threaten you when you question what they say. And that's a telltale sign that they're in error. That's a telltale sign what they're telling you is false tonight. And they're using the prophetic community to be their muscle. And they get out and they scream threats and they make threats and they get angry because how dare somebody question what we're saying because God is speaking to us. Folks, let me tell you something. If God was speaking to them, they'd be speaking according to the Word of God. They would be speaking according to the Bible. And they would be speaking according to the Holy Ghost who points people to the Bible. The Spirit of God and the Word agree. This Kingdom Age movement deny the rapture. There's a prophet that's dead. Somebody came into YouTube tonight or Facebook trying to tell me that this person's prophecies were coming to pass. The man didn't even believe in the rapture, folks. Pat Robertson didn't believe in a rapture. Half the stuff on television tonight. You ain't heard a message on the rapture in a month of Sundays. You're going to hear one soon here on Sunday morning. You're definitely going to hear it on Wednesday night. You hear me talk about it all the time. Somebody needs to shout tonight. My goodness, somebody needs to shout. Somebody might want to call Pat Robertson up and tell him Jesus is coming for the church. This dead prophet, and I have no disrespect for him whatsoever. Look, what he did and whether he was of God, that's up to you and that's your call. But I'm going to tell you something. Folks, if they're prophesying things that are in error of the scripture, I can tell you they're not listening to the Holy Ghost. They're listening to another spirit. The spirit is not going to prophesy things that are not scriptural. Not going to do it. Kingdom majors and now the resurrection is the rapture of the church. They claim, some of them, that at conversion, that all that is just spiritual. There is no resurrection. Some of them claim that. They don't even believe in it. They believe that you got resurrected, that the resurrection, that what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 17 is what you had happen when you got saved. Again, not taking the Bible literally. And folks, that's just complete nonsense right there. That's just complete nonsense. The resurrection and the rapture are the same thing, folks. You've heard me say it a million times. I'll say it again tonight. The resurrection and the rapture are the same thing. This Seven Mountain Movement, I'll call them Kingdom Majors. It's the same thing, folks. Again, they've just recycled the name. It's the same bunch. Same doctrinal issue. Same doctrinal issue. They believe in only a spirit of Antichrist. They deny the man of sin is literal. Again, they deny the literal reading of the Bible. They use language to deflect his appearing. They tell people that we're fear-mongering when we say he's coming. But let me tell you something, folks. The Bible tells you that a man of sin is coming and the spirit of Antichrist is paving his way, neighbor. It's happening tonight. The church is being conditioned to accept the Antichrist that is listening to this theology called the Seven Mountain Theology. And it's the Kingdom Now movement of the 80s that's been recycled into this mess tonight. The Antichrist is both a man and a spirit, neighbor, and the spirit of Antichrist is on the earth, but the man is coming. The man of sin is coming. And this is another one that they do. Let me read it to you. Got 10 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to make it 10 minutes or not. Been going a while. We still got a good crowd in here tonight, so I'm going to keep going. Kingdom majors totally deny the Great Tribulation period, claiming it's a present struggle. Some claiming it's not years, but months even. I read that somewhere in some dumb foolery theology statement by somebody. I don't even know where they got that from. Claiming it's 7 months, not 7 years. Prior to Christ's return to their utopia that they have made for him. They totally deny everything in Revelation. Totally deny everything in Daniel. Totally deny everything in Isaiah. Totally deny everything in Zechariah. Totally deny everything in Ezekiel. Totally deny. They don't believe any of that's literal. They think it's spiritual. They think it's just a figment of your imagination. Folks, the Bible does not tell you that this 7-year tribulation period is a figment of your imagination. Christ spoke about it. Daniel spoke about it. Jeremiah spoke about it. Zechariah spoke about it. Ezekiel spoke about it. Isaiah spoke about it. Jeremiah spoke about it. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is Daniel's 70th week. It is what Jesus called Great Tribulation. It is real. It is literal. But if you're believing that the church can affect the earth and make this world good enough that Christ won't do any of this, that the Lord won't do any of this, you're listening to false theology, folks. It's not the Bible. It's not the Bible. I'm almost done here. I think this is my last, this is my last slide. So we're going to get out of here, Tim. We'll be in good shape here. Kingdom majors. I hope you're learning something tonight, folks. I hope you're learning something tonight. This is where the church, this is where the church is under attack. Kingdom majors and this Seven Mountain Movement, they believe the kingdom is now. Some people believe literally that they can set up an earthly kingdom right now. They literally believe that they can set up a godly kingdom. They do not believe what Christ said, that the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. They totally ignore Luke 17, 21. Totally ignore it. Folks, we believe that the kingdom is in us. And I've read you the scripture this morning. I read it to you tonight. The visible kingdom will never come, folks, until Christ returns. Can I tell you that the church cannot stop AIDS until Christ returns? The church cannot stop racism until Christ returns? Church cannot stop bad government until Christ returns? Folks, the governments of this earth are going to assist the Antichrist, including this one, if it's even in existence by then. But you got this bunch out there pushing their Christian candidates and saying, well, if we'll get these Christian candidates in office, none of this will happen, and we can fix this world and we can fix America if we'll just get somebody right in the White House. I think we found out with Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump was a godly leader, he may not have. He had some personal issues. I didn't agree with everything he did. But folks, Donald Trump should be a warning to us that you can have the godliest of leader in there. It's not going to change the country. It made the country more angry, and it literally sent America into the Civil War. And now what we've got is full-fledged out evil because of the rebellion. As good a man as Trump was, he couldn't change the country, folks, and neither can any leader, nor church leader can do it tonight. Kingdom majors say that Christ cannot come right now. They deny the rapture. They deflect the rapture. They say, well, the church has got to finish its task. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, folks. What is the church's task? What is the church's task that they're telling us that we got to finish? Folks, the church has been on its task for 2,000 years. Based upon this dumb foolery theology, we could be going for 1,000,000 years before the church finished. Let me tell you something, folks. The church is never going to finish its task. Jesus never said the church would finish its task. You know what it told the church to do? It said, work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. That lets me know that the night is coming, folks. And we better be busy getting the gospel out while we can, because the time is coming when the day is going to end and the night is going to take place. And let me tell you who has that in their hands. It ain't the seven mountain idiots. It's God Himself. Somebody needs to say amen to that. The rapture is soon, folks. I put imminent. I don't know if it's imminent or not. It could be 50 years from tonight. It could be 500 years from tonight. It could be 10 minutes from tonight. We could wake up in the morning and be in glory together. But I can tell you and assure you tonight, it ain't on man's timing. It's on God's timing. It's always been on God's timing, and it will always be on God's timing, period. Period. Now, a couple more quick ones, and then we're going to wrap it up. This movement holds a low regard to Scripture. Now, listen to me very carefully here, because this is important. Listen to me carefully, folks. Folks, I'm as Pentecostal as they come. I love the Lord. I got baptized in the Spirit in 1987. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the power of God. I believe in praying for the sick. I believe in prophecy. I believe that God speaks to us. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. And upon my Spirit, I'll pour my handmaids. But I want you to notice this bunch. Listen to this very carefully right here. They have a low regard for doctrinal truth, but they lean on experiences such as dreams, prophecy, and other spiritual experiences to establish doctrine instead of letting the Bible establish the doctrinal truth that's already been established by God Himself. Did you just hear what I said? This bunch leans on experiences, folks. They lean on trying to produce dreams and produce prophetic words. And they write 18 pages of prophetic words every day and read them to you on the internet. Because they think that's, again, that they're speaking for God. And how dare you question that, because they'll throw curses on you from their YouTube channel if you do. But I can tell you right now, folks, you better not be leaning on that crap for your doctrinal truth. You better not be leaning on that stuff to keep you grounded in the faith, because you're going to be tossed to and fro like the wind, and you're going to be led away into error, and some of that error may destroy your soul, and I'm not so sure that all of it won't destroy your soul if you keep listening to it. You need to be grounded in truth. You don't need to be chasing experiences. You need to be grounded in God's word. Jesus said the truth will set you free. He didn't say a touch will set you free. He didn't say a dream will set you free. He didn't say a prophetic word will set you free. He didn't say anything. He said the truth will set you free tonight. And he's speaking of the word of God. Two more real quick. These are messages in themselves. Kingdom majors always stress unity. Boy, they like to talk about unity. And anybody that messes up with their apple cart, they're just dividers. Anybody that messes their apple cart up, anybody that messes their little playhouse up, anybody that questions their little playhouse, they're just a bunch of dividers and haters, and they're angry white men, and they just, I can't stand the Mac Files anymore. They've gotten so negative over there, and Chris screams all the time, and oh my God, we just hate that. We hate that. We're going to go somewhere where we can be soothed and hear what we want to hear, and we want unity, and we want unity, 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 unity. But let me tell you this, folks, tonight as a close. The unity this group is producing is not a unity of the faith. They're allowing people that have occultic backgrounds in them. They're allowing people that are praying New Age prayers in their midst. And they're allowing people in there that's calling for one world religion. And Catholics, I don't mean this to be ugly tonight, but Catholicism ain't Christianity. There are Christians probably in the Catholic Church, but I can tell you right now, folks, Catholicism and Buddhism and Hinduism and all of these isms, there ain't none of it that's Christianity tonight and the true faith. Bible don't talk about the unity of the faiths, F-A-I-T-H-S's. It speaks of the unity of the faith. That is a singular word, neighbor. And there's only one faith tonight, and that's through Christ and the cross. Kingdom majors, finally, tonight. They belittle Israel's role in the end time events. Some claiming even the church has replaced Israel. When you hear replacement theology, folks, you've got a Kingdom Now movement. When you hear replacement theology where the church has taken the place of Israel in God's plan for the end times, you got a Kingdom Now theology. And if you read the Seven Mountain stuff closely, folks, they never mention Israel's role in the end times. But let me make it clear to you tonight. And I've got to close. God, I wish I had another hour, but I don't. I'm going to come back over here. I've got to say goodnight to you. I've kept you 2 hours and 56 minutes. Went 3 hours tonight on a Sunday night. And I've never done that, but I felt like you needed to hear this tonight. Let me tell you this. Israel is the key to Bible prophecy, folks. The Great Tribulation period, the narrative of the end times, it's not about the church. Not about the church. The church is destined to be a called out body of Jew and Gentile to bring as many souls into the kingdom of God before this narrative starts. But once the Great Tribulation period takes place, God's focus is going to be on national Israel. Christ ain't coming back to the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Church when he comes back. He's not coming back to the Reformers Generals Network. And Pat Robertson made a statement. They didn't read to you. Now, he was bragging about his network. He said, we're going to be there to capture the Lord's coming. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to me. The way the world will be at that time, God only knows what kind of world system will be in place there. That flippant statement is just, it reeks of self-righteousness and reeks of arrogance that this whole movement is based on. I can tell you right now, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and he's coming with a sword in his mouth, and the blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle in the Valley of Megiddo when he comes. That don't sound like an earth that the church has taken dominion over and made a utopia for him to come back to. I hope you've heard what I said to you tonight. I got to quit. I'll pick this up. We may mention a little bit of it Wednesday night because we ain't got through with Pergamos yet. But I've given you a little insight, and I want to make it clear tonight, folks. I am not taking pot shots at people. I addressed this, I feel like, doctrinally. I did mention a couple of names that are promoting the doctrine. If you want to follow those people, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. But I'm going to tell you unequivocally tonight, folks, it's false. It's false. And these prophets that are out there threatening people that question their prophetic words, they're false. They're false. I'm going to say it again. If the prophetic community cannot allow people to judge their prophetic words, they're false. They're not of God. They're of the devil. Because a true prophet ain't going to care whether you question them or not. Because let me tell you something. The Bible tells you let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. But let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you something. They can threaten you all they want to. You're on the right argument with this, with the Bible. You're on the right argument with the Bible. The Bible is your source. Your Bible is your source. And let me just throw this little bomb in, if you'll give me 2 minutes. There's a ministry out there tonight telling you to watch for February, and they've been telling you to watch for months, going back 2 years ago, every month. And when something don't happen, they push it back, and then they try to justify their prophetic words and saying, well, this was maybe what happened. Folks, with the world's condition being in its end, anything that can happen in the month of February, they can say all of a sudden, well, I told you to watch February. That's not prophetic words, folks. That's not a prophetic word. I hope you understand that. That is spiritual witchcraft. That is spiritual prognostication. That's being a psychic. That's being a psychic. That's being a psychic. And you don't need to be putting your shekels in that mess. Like it or lump it. I'll amen myself. I'll amen myself. Because I can guarantee you something's going to happen. Anything can happen, folks. Anything can happen. You can throw it on the wall. I can throw it on the wall. I can tell you right now, yeah, we're going to have a wild February. Well, we probably will have a wild February. Ain't no telling what's going to happen. Don't mean I heard that from God. But I can tell you right now, this world is not getting any better. And your faith needs to be anchored in the cross. And you need to be getting ready for the rapture, neighbor. Jesus is coming. And he's coming soon. And he's coming soon. And I mean that with everything in me tonight. And you better take this word of God literally and not be tinkering with it and not be twisting it and not be listening to people that do. Not be listening to people that do. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace tonight. Lord, we've kept them a little long. But I pray that something that's been said has at least encouraged them to study this out in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to touch this show. Lord, thank you for your grace over us. We thank you for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen and amen tonight. I got more to say. I'll deal with this Wednesday night a little bit. We'll pick it up then, folks. I got to go. It's 10 o'clock in the East. Been a little late tonight, but we hope that you've listened to something. I want to encourage you again. Do not take a word I said tonight at face value. I want you to get this outline down that we put on this screen. I'm going to get with KK tomorrow. We're going to have it up hopefully tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest. Take your Bible. Take your Bible. Read these scriptures. Read it out. Read it out. Read it out. And you make your own call. I think if you listen to the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what Chris said Sunday night was my word. And because it's my word, it's right. Not because Chris, but because this is right. This is always right. Chris may not get it right all the time. This gets it right all the time. And you can put faith in this. And that's where your faith needs to be. Period. Period. God bless you out there. I'll see you tomorrow night, Monday night, Spiritual Smackdown. The one and only Jay Bynum's back. We're going to deal with another little issue tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. Be blessed tonight. Have a good night. See ya.
When God dips his pen of love in my heart and writes my soul a message he wants me to know, his Spirit all divine fills this sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart,
said I would, and I said I was home. How he brought salvation, how he made me whole. From the valley good and high, such a love as Jesus did him want. All the days we lie, man, it makes me cry. Sets my head so high, hallelujah,
when God dips his love in my heart.
He walked every step of Calvary's rugged way to give his life completely and bring a better day. My life was steeped in sin, but in love he took me in.
His blood washed away every stain.
I said I would tell him,
said I would tell him,
every dog's salvation will be made me whole. But the Father could not hide such a love as Jesus did him
pour.
All the pains he lied
makes me cry.
Sets my heart and soul on fire. Hallelujah,
when God gives his love in my heart.
Said I wouldn't tell it to a little soul. How he brought salvation, for he made me whole. But I thought I could not hide such a love as Jesus did him
pour.
Cause it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Says Christ is soul on fire. Hallelujah,
when God gives his love in my heart.
His blood washed away every stain. I said I wouldn't ever do a little soul. How he brought salvation,
how
he made me whole. But I thought I could not hide such a love as
Jesus did him
pour. Cause it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Says Christ his soul on fire. Hallelujah,
when God gives his love in my heart.
I said I wouldn't ever do a little soul.
Natalie Corman, I agree with you. I like this song too. I'm gonna play it one more time going out tonight. Somebody needs to say amen on this Sunday night. What a day, what a day, what a day. Be blessed. See you tomorrow night, folks. Love you. Love you, love you, love you. That's why I do what I do. Love you. Have a good night.
He walked every step of Calvary's rugged way to give his life completely and bring a better day. My life was steeped in sin, but in love he took me.
His blood washed away every stain.
I said I wouldn't ever do a little soul. How he brought salvation,
how
he made me whole.
But
now I look on my eyes,
such a love
as Jesus did him pour. Cause it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Says Christ his soul on fire. Hallelujah,
when God gives his love in my heart.
I said I wouldn't ever do a little soul.
Soul on fire,
hallelujah,
when God gives his love.